there is a trap which is deeply rooted in the intellectual culture, and we have to avoid it. The trap is a doctrine that I've sometimes called the doctrine of change of course. It's a doctrine that's invoked every 2 or 3 years in the United States. The content of the doctrine is, yes, in the past we did some wrong things because of our innocence or out of inadvertence, but now that's all over, so we can... let's not waste any more time on this boring, stale stuff, which, incidentally, we suppressed and denied while it was happening, but must now be effaced from history as we march forward to a glorious future. And if you look, it is literally every 2 or 3 years that the doctrine is invoked. There is a qualification. We're permitted, in fact, required, to recall with great horror the misdeeds of official enemies. And we're also required to admire with awe our own magnificent achievements in the past, in both categories, relying in no small measure on self-serving reconstructions, which quickly collapse if you follow the path of paying attention to the facts, but fortunately that dangerous course is excluded by the convenient doctrine of change of course, which blocks any such heresies. The doctrine is entirely understandable on the part of those who are engaged in criminal enterprises, which means just about any power system, any system of concentrated power, past and present, and of course it includes its acolytes. One of the major commitments of respected intellectuals right throughout history is to be the acolytes of systems of power. Since intellectuals write history, it doesn't look like that, but you have to be cautious about what people write about themselves. If you look carefully, you'll find that. Of course, the doctrine is dishonest, cowardly, but has advantages. It does protect us from the danger of understanding what's happening before our eyes, and therefore inducing the kind of conformism that is useful to systems of power and domination. So it has its advantages. If we escape the domination of the doctrine, what has happened before can be expected to persist for elementary reasons. Policies and actions are rooted in institutions. There's some variation, but limited. The institutions are stable. Therefore, it's only reasonable to expect the policies and actions to persist, adapted to circumstances. If you want to understand anything about the world that is to come and have any influence on the way it evolves, it's more than useful to keep this in mind. Well, within weeks after September 2002, a crucial moment in world affairs, within weeks, even the mainstream U.S. press was compelled to report that the world now regards George Bush as a greater threat to peace than Saddam Hussein. And that, in fact, is an understatement, because much as Saddam Hussein was hated and reviled, he was not regarded as a threat, even by the countries that he had attacked, Iran and Kuwait, both of which understood perfectly well that after a decade of sanctions that had devastated the society, and after having been effectively disarmed, however awful Saddam Hussein was, he wasn't going to threaten anybody. It was, in fact, the weakest country in the region. One of the reasons why it was attacked, it met the primary condition for a target of attack, namely totally defenseless and known to be. So in fact, they had joined the other states in the region in trying to integrate Iraq back into the region for several years over strong U.S. objections. So the statement, while correct, is understated. These kinds of reactions, those you hear today and you've been hearing for the past year, pay attention, are, as far as I'm aware, entirely without precedent. I can't remember anything like them. And no matter how one decides to evaluate the sentiments that are expressed, one thing is clear, no sane person should ignore them. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a European Union poll, which aroused some interest here. The poll was asking Europeans what they thought was the greatest threat to world peace. And it turned out that the United States was ranked right next to North Korea and Iraq, same percentage. Well, that was felt to be a surprise, but it shouldn't have been a surprise, because that's what polls have been showing for over a year, growing concern and fear that the United States is out of control under the present leadership and is a tremendous threat to